I'm Sarah Losey, and this is Branded, your comprehensive guide to creative branding.
And on this episode of the podcast, we're going to kind of follow up our last episode a little bit. We're still going to talk about AI and the impact of AI just a smidge, but we're going to talk about it from the perspective of a much larger concern or an issue when it comes to maintaining control of your brand.
We're recording this on May 16th, and on what was it, May 13th, they just released the new ChatGPT update.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not real good at math, but today's Thursday and they did it on Monday. So. But yeah, man, they just released the latest version of ChatGPT a couple days ago, and it's such an insane game changer. And it's really shocking to a lot of people that have built their brand or built an app or built their platform around the prior release of this application, because they've made so many advancements, especially in the realm of voice interaction with ChatGPT. So for those of you that aren't aware, you can speak to ChatGPT on both desktop and the mobile version. A lot of people use it on the mobile version. You can assign it a voice. There's six or seven different voices you can choose from, male, female, whatever you prefer. And you can have conversations. You can ask ChatGPT questions and it'll give you this feedback. And prior to Monday's release, there was a bit of a lag in between when you would ask the question and ChatGPT would ponder the response and then respond back. But, and this is just one of the features of the new version, is that that latency or that lag is completely gone. So now you're literally having real-time conversations with this chatbot, and it's mind-blowing.
And terrifying.
Simultaneously. Yeah, 100%.
I remember when like the most like groundbreaking like voice technology was when we could change our Garmin GPSs to sound Australian.
G'day, mate. You're almost there.
Yeah. Like that was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And now robots are talking to us.
And they're talking to us. They're not just talking to us, but they're having conversations with us. I mean, you know, we're used to having Siri and we're used to having Alexa. And for some reason, the Google voice is escaping me on the Android device. What is that called?
Siri, Alexa, and Cortana?
Cortana? No, Cortana is Microsoft's desktop voice. Oh. Anyways, doesn't matter. we're used to these things talking back to us, but not in a conversational fashion. And now with the release of ChatGPT 4.0, and the O is for Omni, that's the latest version of ChatGPT and the latest large language model that they're using to power it. That latency is just not there. So you can literally carry on these conversations in a way that is just like the conversation you and I are having right now. I mean, you can even interrupt ChatGPT. Like if you're speaking and I want to interject something, I can jump in there. I don't have to wait for you to finish and they'll stop. And when I say they'll stop, I mean, ChatGPT will stop talking and hear your latest input, your latest response, and respond back. You know, that again, that's just one aspect of this new model and this new version of ChatGPT that's out here. But these new advancements with both the audio and the visual, ChatGPT's visual analysis has gone next level as well. You can take a screenshot of yourself and ChatGPT can analyze that picture and tell you the emotions that you're feeling at the time. So there's emotional, we'll call it intelligence.
We just, our last episode, we were just saying that the one thing ChatGPT cannot recreate is emotional intelligence. And it doesn't make sense in my brain for it to actually be able to.
Yeah.
Because it's like humans can't even understand what emotional intelligence is. Like we don't control our emotions.
Yeah.
It's purely like chemical. So I feel like they probably came up with a way to like pseudo replicate it, but
Emotional algorithms is what it is.
Yeah.
It's algorithmic, but maybe, but I mean, if you watch the demonstration, when they revealed this, they literally had ChatGPT read a bedtime story. And ChatGPT started to read this bedtime story and they went, no, hold on, wait. Make it more emotional. So ChatGPT changed the tone of the story. Mm-hmm. and made it more emotional, made it more inspiring, more it just with a tense feeling. And then went, no, stop, make it even more. So you would hear ChatGPT each time they stopped and said, no, more emotion. They'd come back and reread it with more and more and more emotion. And it was just mind blowing.
Yeah. Okay. But that's like, that's not feeling emotion. That's portraying, and that's different.
Oh yeah. It's totally different, but at the same
time, it's still terrifying.
When it's done well, and it's done so well,
yeah,
in GPT-4o, that sometimes we as humans can't really pick up on the fact that it's algorithmic emotion and not real emotion. And what we're seeing, and the reason we're talking about this again today, is that with these changes to ChatGPT in the speed and the emotional response and the audio response and all these changes that are made, it's, believe it or not, there's a big industry out there for AI companions. And there's been a ton of platforms that came out and they were using ChatGPT backends or using the ChatGPT API or application program interface to drive these AI companion platforms that they wrote. So this third party would come in, they would put ChatGPT into a program and they would build a program around it to make it sound like you're talking to someone. And as of Monday, all those platforms are obsolete. There's zero need for a third party to write additional code to create this AI companion, because with this latest version of ChatGPT, it's already there. And here's the real kicker. It's free to everybody. You don't have to be a paid subscriber to get the latest version of ChatGPT. So it's totally free. It has the response time that's almost instantaneous. And you can have very conversational interactions with this chatbot.
What's the difference between, like, because I pay for it, you pay for it.
Yeah.
What, should we just stop paying for it?
No, not at this stage. And I'll tell you why. Although they're rolling it out to everyone for free, we as paid subscribers get it first. So odds are, if you haven't signed on to ChatGPT in the past couple of days, you probably already have it if you're a paid subscriber. If you're not a paid subscriber, they're rolling it out over the next couple, 3 weeks. So you will eventually have it for free. So that's one of the benefits of being a paid subscriber, is you get first dibs on any of the new releases. But in addition to that, you also have the opportunity for more interactions. So they throttle the conversations or the usage on the free version. Now, unless you're just sitting there talking to ChatGPT all day long, you're probably never going to reach the limit, even on the free version. And you're definitely not going to reach, there is a limit, but it's literally 10 times larger with the interactions and the input and output that you have on the free version for the paid version right now. But I didn't mean to turn this into a ChatGPT session, but my whole point here is that these applications that built these AI companions, and on top of that, other applications such as language translators or language tutorial applications, they're gone too. There's no need for them because ChatGPT can literally translate on the fly. I could stand in front of someone that speaks an entirely different language. Say somebody speaks Spanish and I don't speak Spanish. I could tell ChatGPT right now, go, ChatGPT, whenever you hear Spanish, translate it to English. And whenever you hear English, translate it to Spanish. And I could sit there then and, using ChatGPT as my translator, go back and forth with this individual that doesn't even speak the same language. We could do it in real time. We could do it on the fly. So all these other translator apps, guess what? They woke up Tuesday morning and they're obsolescent at best, obsolete at worst.
Are those not the same words?
Obsolescent means that it's going obsolete, and obsolete means it's gone. So it's not quite gone when it's obsolescent. So anyways, again, these brands, these platforms, these businesses, even whether it's an AI companion platform or whether it's a tutorial platform, or and there's countless others that are out there now. I said tutorial, I meant translator. There's countless others out there now that with this one release of this one platform eliminated hundreds, if not thousands, of quote unquote businesses and brands literally overnight. And something I noticed just the other day was that I say literally a lot. I think in the last episode, I literally said literally 20 times. So we need to work on
that. You're so Gen Z. So like all of these like platforms have just disappeared now. And it's not something that anyone was prepared for.
And well, they haven't disappeared. I think they're all still there because it's only been a couple of days now. But they're again, they're obsolescent at best. They're dead. They're dead in the water. You know, they're going to have to completely reevaluate what they've done, how they did it. And this is kind of a testimony to how we need to look at things going forward. Mm-hmm. Because, and you've heard me say this before, that this AI stuff, man, it's literally, there it is again. It's changing every day. Mm-hmm. It is changing every day. We wake up and there's something that's evolved. There's something that's different. There's a new platform, or one of the big companies has released their latest version and it's made something else obsolete. And that's the scary component here, is that how do we build a brand that is, well, not just AI proof, but obsolete proof.
Yeah. It makes me think back with like social media platforms. There's been like the big ones that have really stayed, like Facebook hasn't gone anywhere, probably won't, but there's so many other platforms that people would build this big following on, and then the platform would either go away or just kind of fade. And for brands, that can be scary, because if you're only building an audience on a platform that you don't own, you have no control over it. And like with Vine, there are people who were huge on Vine, mm-hmm. and like started their whole career as like influencers or creators on Vine. And then Vine doesn't exist anymore. And now it's TikTok basically, but TikTok might be going away. And yeah, I mean, they're
trying to lock it down, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have like a little bit of a PR background, and there's in PR, we have the different types of media: earned, paid, and owned. And you have to make sure that the majority of what you're doing for your brand is within owned media. So you have to be focusing on things like your website, because that's yours. And unless the internet goes down or something, your website's probably not going anywhere. But even we've seen people have their email list on a certain platform, and the platform disagrees with what they're putting out, and they've shut down their account and they lost their entire contact list.
Yeah. And they had no idea. They woke up mm-hmm. on Monday morning and poof, their entire business is gone.
Yeah. See, this is why no one likes Mondays. It always happens on a Monday morning.
Okay. Well, for the ChatGPT released, everybody woke up Tuesday and was like, holy shnikes, life is different now. Yeah. And then to make it even worse, Tuesday, Google jumped up and said, oh, well, we see your upgrades, OpenAI. Here's our upgrades. So Monday had all the ChatGPT upgrades. Tuesday had all of the Gemini and Google AI platform updates. So you got tag team back to back. It didn't really matter who you were with at the time. Come Wednesday morning, you were in a world of hurt if you were building everything on the latest version of these AI chatbots.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But when it comes to like protecting your brand from that kind of like obsolescence with other platforms, this is why we need to make sure that we're sending them places that we can't lose them. I know a lot of people that they'll go to conference and they'll be like, oh, just like find me on like LinkedIn. It's like, okay, but what if LinkedIn shuts down? Or what if you're like, they decide to, like, I don't know who decides if people can have accounts anymore, but people have gotten blocked from their Facebooks and like their accounts have been shut down. So you need to be making sure you're connecting with your audience in a way that's more permanent. Like I always go for business cards. We just said that someone's whole email list was shut down, but you can export your email list and like have it as a hard copy in case something happens. And it's so important to have those almost like safeguards in place for that. Like social media. Yeah. Social media is great for having conversations with your audience, but that's not where your audience should live.
Right. No. And you kind of hit the nail on the head there. You have to have backups. You have to have backups for your stuff, man, in case it does get blitzed. You have to own that email list someplace on an external hard drive or someplace that you can back it up. So if these platforms do go down, or they do shut you down, or they do lock you out for whatever reason, then boom, you still have that and you can rebuild in a different environment if necessary.
Mine's in a shoebox.
A shoebox. Okay.
I have basically every business card I've ever been given.
I have notes from my high school sweetheart in a shoebox still.
I'm going to tell your wife.
She knows it's in the closet. It's right there at the top of the closet. It's common knowledge.
Why do you have those? You're 50.
Because it's fun to look back, man. It's fun to go, oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know why we were ever together. All we did was fight and apologize. Fight and apologize. Every note's an apology note, you know? I still have Mylar balloons with, you know, little Valentine Mylar balloons from high school and a plaque that we had made at Six Flags that had our very cheesy nicknames engraved on it. Yeah, I got all that stuff. So
you gotta have backups. I don't even think I still have baby photos of myself.
You got to have backups. You
You've got to be overly sentimental and never throw anything out.
Yeah, I'm not quite as sentimental these days, but there was a time. Yeah,
if it doesn't spark joy,
yeah, throw it out. Yeah, there you go. Well, if it doesn't spark dollars, throw it out and back it up if it does spark dollars. So that's kind of the message that we got going here.
I guess one thing that if you do anything from this, besides panic the way I am, start if your audience is mainly on social media, create some kind of email list. I use Constant Contact, well, we use Constant Contact, whatever it is, and start encouraging your audience to sign up for like a newsletter or for your email list in general. So you can start having basically that hard copy of your audience. And you can, I mean, you can use that now to email market and connect with them in other ways. But also if for some reason you do lose that access, you don't lose access to your audience.
Yeah, I love the idea of a newsletter. Honestly, they're almost tech proof. You know, you can always send an email. And again, if you have that backup, I love using a platform called Beehive to write mm-hmm. newsletters. And just about and I subscribe to a ton of newsletters, several AI newsletters, tons of podcast newsletters, a couple of branding newsletters, all of them that I subscribe to. I'll say all. Maybe there's one or two that are still stragglers, but the vast majority of the newsletters that I subscribe to, they're all written on Beehive. And, you know, if you guys listening don't know, I'm also the editor of the Podfest Messenger, which is the newsletter for Podfest. And it's also on Beehive. I mean, it's just a great platform, relatively inexpensive for what it does, super, super versatile and super easy to use. So if you're thinking, oh my God, I don't have time to write a newsletter. It's so hard. I don't have the technical expertise. You don't need it. You don't need it. It's super simple, drag and drop type stuff. Use ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini or whatever your favorite chatbot is to help you generate some content. Throw your words and your spin on it, your perspective, your experience, your stories in there, and throw it in a newsletter. Or if you want to, do what I love doing. Find relevant articles, bring them into your newsletter, send them to those articles to read, and just give attribution in your newsletter. So you're bringing together information in one newsletter for your audience, and you're providing value. So it works out well for everybody. But that's a great way to stay in touch with your audience. And I didn't know we were going down a newsletter route here, but
neither did I, but here we are. Yeah, and while you're at it, go to workwithbranded.com and sign up for our mailing list.
Yeah. Head over there and sign up for our newsletter. So
we should probably start sending.
We probably should start a newsletter. So anybody listening right now, be on the lookout
every like 3 weeks.
Be on the lookout. We got a newsletter that's coming out in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to launch that very, very soon. So
totally.
Yep. Don't hold your breath though. But
we're going to call that a Larry task.
Oh, yay. Yay. Beehive. Love it. But no, seriously, newsletters, podcasts, websites, everything that you can do to secure your brand on your terms. That's where you need to be, because you don't want to wake up on a Tuesday morning, find out that a platform that you were on, that you were basing everything on, made some changes, and now your brand is toast. So
yeah. And it's not even just changes with like the AI stuff, like the changes in the algorithms. Like you won't, even if you have like a massive audience on social, they change the algorithm and you can't reach them anymore.
Yeah. I mean, go to YouTube right now. They just changed the algorithm.
They figuratively changed it.
They figuratively, but really they did.
But actually.
They changed it over the last couple of weeks, and there's video after video after video talking about, here's what you do now. Here's how you address the new algorithm. Here, it changes all the time. So if you want to take the guesswork out of getting eyes and ears on your content, own the content.
We love a mailing list. WorkWithBrandon.com. Sign up for it.
There you go. Another plug right there. So with that, hopefully you got some value out of this. Hopefully you're going to put some thought into how you can secure your brand. Make sure you don't wake up on a Tuesday morning and find out that you're in a world of hot water. So if you did find some value, do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button so we can bring you these episodes each and every week. And with that, I'm Larry Roberts.
I'm Sarah Losey. We'll talk to you next week.